Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 17. The Reverend Dr. James Bonnick is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading is from Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first was Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and gold of the land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So the world did not begin with a big bang. This is the theory, of course, that a large quantity of nothing decided to pack tightly together, then explode outward into hydrogen and helium. Many scientists believe that this is actually how this elaborate galaxy system of stars and planets and sun and moon began. They believed it just happened that we have the grandeur of mountains and the depth of the sea and the life contained in them through this angry explosion. They believe that out of the Big Bang comes our intricate skeletal system and the mastery of the brain. That out of a Big Bang comes the pumping of the heart with its intricate and amazing vascular system. Funny, our Lutheran camp in North Dakota would try to emulate the Big Bang by blowing up a hot water heater. And never, never did life come forward from these explosions. No, it was the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who created the world in 6 24-hour days. Augustine writes, "God created the world solely out of his goodness and his free will." God created the world out of nothing, simply by speaking it, and all out of his lavish goodness. God created the world out of nothing. He created light. He created the seas and the dry land. He created vegetation and fruit-bearing trees and sun and moon and stars. God created everything that swarms in the waters and flies in the skies, and all the animals of every kind that roam the earth. And after each was created by the word of God, we are told, God saw it and it was good. But Adam and Eve, man and woman, he created differently. With his own divine, omnipotent hands, God formed Adam from the ground of the earth. And God breathed life into Adam, and he became a living body and an eternal soul. God breathed his own image into Adam's nostrils, his perfect righteousness into Adam. Adam was created perfect and holy, and he was without sin. And from Adam's rib, God made Eve, the perfect woman, holy and righteous. God created the world for Adam and Eve. He created the world for you and for me. 17th century Lutheran theologian Johann Gerhard writes, "The primary purpose of creation is the glory of God, and that ultimate and primary purpose of creation includes that all things were created for the use and the help of man." For you. Luther writes, "Man was created by a unique counsel and wisdom and shaped by the finger of God. And God takes that clod of dirt and forms from it a most beautiful creature, which has a share in God's immortality. God chose to make us. God chose to make Adam and Eve and you and me. And he planted a garden in Eden, and he put us there to enjoy it, to work it with joy, and to eat of it in this beautiful paradise where there was peace, and there was freedom from all fear. No sin, no death, beautiful and aromatic. Adam and Eve were in a complete state of innocence and virtue and joy. And in this garden, God planted two distinct trees among all the trees, the tree of life connected to the word and the promises of God. This tree preserved Adam and Eve's full bodily vigor. It protected them from all disease and weariness. In their state of original righteousness, this tree gave Adam and Eve ongoing life. And there was also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Luther calls this tree Adam's church, his altar and his pulpit, because here Adam and Eve worshiped God and obeyed his commandments. They yielded to his commands and to his word. It's not that the tree itself was deadly or poison, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was connected to God's word. God's word was connected to this tree. "You shall surely eat of every tree of the garden," God said, "but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat of it, you will surely die." And so to eat of this tree would be to disobey God. To eat of this tree would be to reject his word and his commandments. To eat of this tree would be to sin against God and to obey Satan. Luther writes, "The tree of life makes alive through the potency of the word of God, of him who gives the promise and ordains it so. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," Luther says, "kills through the potency of the word of him who issues the prohibition." Paradise. Eden. A perfect creation. Adam and Eve, the jewel of God's creation. Everything created for them. Created in the image of God, immortal, incorruptible, full communion and fellowship with God, holy and righteous. And they gave it all up. We lost our purest treasure, our full and perfect communion with our Creator in Eden. We exchanged sinlessness and perfect righteousness for despair and hate and hypocrisy and darkness. We chose doubt and unbelief and sickness and vanity and fraud and theft and thorns and thistles. We chose pain and childbearing and sweat and lust and greed and foolishness. We exchanged all this holiness and perfection and peace to have heaven's gates barred shut. We chose death. We chose hell. We are dust, and to dust we shall return, but only worse. We have lost everything good. We have become mortal. We have become perishable and corruptible. We have become cursed. And in the words of St. Paul, "What a wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then the tree of life becomes flesh and blood. The prophet Isaiah cries out, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. From cursed Adam and Eve, from the dead and sinful nation of Israel, in whom there is no life at all, comes forth Mary's son, the Son of God, the Creator of the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." God comes to earth to die on another tree, the noblest of trees, as the hymn writer says, the tree of the cross. This instrument of death, God hanging and dying on it, now becomes the new tree of life, our life. This tree is God's work to reverse the curse of sin and death. "But of the not tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat it, you will surely die." And in his immense love for his beloved creation, the apple of his eye, he bit death for us. Jesus Christ, our dear Redeemer, absorbs our despair and our hate and our hypocrisy and our darkness and our sickness and our vanity and our fraud and our thorns and our lust and our pain. He absorbs our sin and our eternal death. And he gives us life once again. The life he won for us. St. John in the book of Revelation writes, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. From the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, flows the river of our baptism. And we stand in it, and we live in it every day. Water from the tree of life, from Jesus Christ, that washes over us, you, me, constantly. Life flows over us constantly. We are forgiven. We are renewed. We are restored to newness of life. Our tree of life is the living vine, and we are the branches, and in him we bear much fruit. We bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, because that's who we are once again. We eat and drink life that comes from the Lord in the sacrament of the altar. And there we have a foretaste of the feast to come. Then we shall be awakened from death, when the trumpet will sound and we will be raised imperishable and immortal as we were first created. From the world flows virus and disease and chaos and riots and warfare and hate. From the world flows prejudice and unbelief. But from the tree of life, from Jesus Christ, flows forgiveness and peace, healing and eternal life, our reconciliation with God and with one another. Our joy and our resurrection flows from this tree of life. What we lost has been given back to us through the mercy and the grace of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So beautiful then are the words of Jesus into our ears. Today, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Shawin and Krista Trump, who serve the Lord in Kenya. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.